Welcome to the podcast of the United Church of Bogotá. We are a Bible-based church ministering to the English-speaking community in Bogotá, Colombia. We invite you to join our diverse fellowship as we encounter God in worship and experience the impact of His grace on every part of our lives and in our world. To learn more, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.
Right. Well, good morning. Again, it is good to be with you. If you were here last week, you'll know what I'm doing. I'm preaching from the floor. I'm trying to engage with our kids who are here. I'm really thankful that to have our kids with us today. And so my hope for this sermon is that kids, you will be engaged. There will be application for you, for you, for you, but also for the adults that are here, that you will be encouraged and challenged. So, it's going to be a little less formal, a little bit more back and forth interaction with the congregation, and hopefully a little bit shorter, but we'll see. No promises. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come to you and to hear from your word this morning. Please bless Thomas as he comes up to read, and bless my words as I speak them. May they communicate the truth about you, and may they encourage and challenge our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and invite Thomas to come on up and read for us this morning. He's going to be in 1 John chapter 4. Thomas, you can read up here. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 21. It's all about a God who is love and what his love looks like. So let's listen to how God loves us.
Good morning, UCB members. I have the privilege of speaking to you for a few minutes. And we'll be talking about God. The English version, our scripture is read from John 4:7-21, English Standard Version. And it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. 14. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is so also are we in this world. 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. 20. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. Thanks be to God. Thank you for giving me this privilege.
Thank you, Thomas. All right, this is the word of the Lord. Well, what is the main theme of this passage? What part of God's character is this passage about? His love. That's right, I heard that. Someone said it. His love. Now, here, I want someone to tell me, who is someone you love? Who is someone you love? What's that? Tom, you say God? All right, anyone else want to say, who's someone else you love? Alejo, ¿quién amas? Your mama. I bet you love your mama. Anyone else? Yeah, Benjamin. Who's someone you love? What's that? Your sister. Oh, that's sweet. Why do you love them? Why do you love your mom? Why do you love your sister? Why do you love your dad? Adults, you can answer too. Why do you love them?
They're cute.
They're cute. They're precious. You've known them a long time. They're part of your family. They've done kind things to you. They've given you sweet things, right? Now, here's the thing. I don't want you to say any names, but who here, raise your hand, if there's some people in your life that you have trouble loving, that are hard to love. Yeah, I think we can all raise our hands there. There's some people who are hard to love. Why are some people hard to love? You have any ideas? Why are some people harder to love? They're selfish. Anything else? They're not nice. They're mean, maybe. They're greedy. Yeah. Some people are hard to love, right? Here's what I think is the hardest type of person to love. Imagine a person who you have shown deep love and kindness to. Someone who you have loved so much, but they have repaid your loving kindness with evil, have been unkind, have been mean to you, even though you were really kind to them. Those kinds of people are really hard to love. When I was a kid, my family had a lady come live with us. Her name was Dolores. I told this story before in a previous sermon, but most of you weren't here then, so I'm going to tell it again. Dolores lived with us. She had a lot of problems. Lots of things were going wrong in her life, and she had made a lot of mistakes in her life. But my dad, who was a pastor, he invited Dolores to come live with us for a little bit to get back up on her feet and to start making better decisions and to experience the love of God in our family. And she became part of our family. She was awesome. We loved her. We would spend time with her. We would have meals with her. She would play with us as kids. We played jokes on her, and she'd play jokes on us. She was a deep part of our family, and we thought it was awesome that she lived with us. And she seemed to really be understanding the love that we were showing her and really appreciating it. So we decided, when we were going on vacation, that we would let Dolores stay in our house while we were gone, because we were going on a family road trip all across the United States. About 2/3 of the way through that trip, we get a phone call. And my dad got really serious. I know. It was bad. Dolores had fallen back into some old bad habits. And she found the sock drawer in my parents' room where me and all four of my siblings kept all of our life savings. All of it. Envelopes. We had envelopes full of what were to us large amounts of cash. Now, I'm sure too, it was probably like $10 each, right? But it felt like that was my life savings. That was all the money I had in the world. And she was calling to tell my dad that she had stolen it. She stole all of it. She took it all away. She spent it on things that were for her own good, for her own pleasure. She went partying and she had a good time, but she used all of our money. The kids' money, whom we loved. Guess what? I was pretty angry. I was pretty angry. My dad told us, and I was angry at her. Do you know what I wanted? I wanted her to pay it back. I wanted to kick her out of the house. How dare she do that and steal from us? Does that remind you of any other stories in the Bible, kids? Think of any stories that Jesus told that reminds you of? Adults? What's that? There's a lot of stories. What's that? The prodigal son. Remember the father who gave all of these wonderful privileges to his son, but his son decided to run off with them, wish his father was dead, and spend them on himself. He repaid his father's love with evil. Well, here's the thing, guys. We are a lot like the son in that parable, and we are a lot like Dolores. God has given us lots of amazing gifts. Amazing gifts. And we take them and we use them for ourselves. I imagine that many of you kids got gifts for Christmas, right? Maybe you adults did too. How long did you have those gifts, which, by the way, you did not earn, nor did you deserve? How long was it before you started fighting with your siblings over them, right? They were gifts to you. They were given. But all of a sudden, you began to believe a little lie that you deserved them, that they were yours, and that no one else had any right to them. Right? Adults, all of us, we do the exact same thing. God has given us amazing gifts. He has given us talents, things that we're good at. He has given us abilities to do certain things. He has given us resources. He's given us sometimes money, sometimes not. He's given us things that we can use. He's given us time, and he's given us relationships. But how often do we take each of those gifts and try to make them the ultimate thing? Try to squeeze our own pleasure out of them? The reason God gave us those wonderful gifts was to use them to show how deep his love to us was to other people, right? He gives us all of these abilities and all of these time and all these resources in order for us to be able to show his love to other people. But instead, we use them for ourselves and to give ourselves glory, right? Let's be honest. Think about it. We all do this. We're like Dolores. We're like the prodigal son. So what would you do, though, if you were us in the story with Dolores? Would you kick her out of the house? Maybe. She broke our trust. Would you forget your relationship with her? She's ruined everything. I think that we'd at least be tempted to do that. But that is not what God has done with us. That is not what God has done with us. Instead of kicking us out of the house when we repaid his kindness with unkindness, he goes after us and he pursues us and he loves us. This is what this passage is all about. We love because God loved us first. Listen to this again. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world after us so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The love that God shows us is not just the loving us before we spit in his face by giving him good, by giving us good gifts, but the love God shows us is continuing to love us and continuing to sacrifice everything for us, even though we have already spit in his face. This is the love that God shows to us. There's a big word in here that's probably big for both adults and kids, and that's the word propitiation. It's this idea that God pays the penalty for what we owe. Dolores was never able to pay my family back. Never. She was never able to pay her family back. She had trouble keeping jobs. She was never able to pay me back. But guess what? When I got home, my envelope was refilled. My envelope, full of all the $10 that I had in the world, was refilled. Not by Dolores, but by my father, who loved me and gave me that gift, even though it had been taken, who loved Dolores enough to pay the propitiation for what she owed for us. Do you realize how extravagant that means God's love is for you? How deeply he loves you? That he would do that? What is your view of God? Is he extravagantly loving, or is he primarily wrathful and angry in the way you kind of think about him? Maybe you had a father yourself who was really wrathful and angry, and so you assume God must be like that too. Or maybe you think God's kind of conditionally loving. He's loving and proud of you when you're doing the right thing, but when you do wrong things, he's not necessarily wrathful and angry, but he's just like severely disappointed in you, which sometimes is worse, right? Or maybe you just think God's kind of distant or apathetic. Well, God's not distant or apathetic. He came towards you. He moved towards you to fix your relationship with him. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you, to pay what you owed. Or maybe you're someone who just thinks, you know, God doesn't take my sin that seriously. Well, this extravagant and loving God loves you so much that he does not want you to stay in your sin, but he wants to pull you out of it. Even though he hates your sin, he runs after you to pay for everything. This is who God is. Do we believe that? Do we really believe that that is what God is like? If we do, this passage tells us two things will change about our lives. Two things. The first thing that's going to change about our lives is that we are going to start loving one another. If God has loved us in that extravagant, self-sacrificial way, that will push us to love other people. All right, imagine this. I've lost my space. Imagine this. Imagine you find out that your grandfather has secretly for years not told you, but he's actually in charge, owns the entire Lego company. Imagine that. He owns the entire Lego company. All right? Now, in your normal life, you have a couple sets of Legos. Adults, I know that some of you have Legos. Don't lie. You have a couple sets of Legos, right? And especially kids, when your little sister comes or your little brother comes and they want to play with the set of Legos you are playing with, you say, no, no, I don't want you to mess it up. I'm trying to build it, right? You've experienced that, right? You don't want Lydia to come mess up your Legos, Tommy, right? Because you only have a certain amount of pieces and you have to do it exactly right. Now imagine you find out your grandfather's in charge of the Lego company and he is going to give you two copies of every single Lego set in the entire world. First of all, your parents will be stressed out because they'll be like, where are we going to put all this? The second thing that's going to happen, though, is you're going to realize you don't need to protect your stuff anymore. You don't need to protect your Legos from being taken by your sister. Because guess what? You have an extra one. You have plenty of extra ones. You have more Legos than you know what to do with. You have been given a gift of such abundance that letting her have a few Legos is nothing. It's not, you don't even notice it's gone. right. Ooh, I think the battery's dead. Creo que la pila. Identity, every piece of our contentment is found in the Lord. So what does that mean? That means
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information or would like to support the ministry of UCB, please visit our website at ucbogota.org.